Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Granta Raja, Shima Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Goprem. Okay. Does anyone remember what we discussed last week? Which chapter did we cover last week?
Wonderful Krishna.
Wonderful Krishna, very good. And then the chapter after that? Yeah. So what were the points? Good point. Anything else?
Srila Prabhu is Krishvasu and please we follow him and follow all the teachings and all the books he has written. Then we will be following the Krishvasu.
No problem. Any other point? Is that important? Shouldn't chastise someone in class? Sometimes. Any other point?
Krishna also advised Indra to be very sober and for no force playing.
Good. Anything else?
If the desire that gives us in this world, so we must give up the desire to enjoy in this world, otherwise we will be coming back. We can't go to this place anymore.
Krishna delivers us from the material world directly and indirectly. Directly using time and indirectly by time and directly by when he comes here.
Anything else? Okay, so tonight we'll finish chapter 27. So we'll hear about Krishna's reciprocation with Indra and how Mother Surabhi offers some prayers to Lord Krishna also. And then they perform the Maha Abhishek of Krishna. And they enthrone him or install him as Govinda, the Supreme Personality or the Supreme King of the universe. Okay. So, text number 15. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Indra, it was out of mercy that I stopped the sacrifice meant for you. You were greatly intoxicated by your opulence as King of Heaven, and I wanted you to always remember me." Jamuna Jivan.
According to Sridhar Swami, Indra and Lord Krishna here exchange a heart to heart hug. Indra revealed his mind to the Lord, and now Lord Krishna similarly reveals his own intention. In the text 11 of this chapter, Indra emphatically declares that Lord Krishna is in fact everything, and thus, according to Indra's own criteria, forgetting Lord Krishna is clearly a state of insanity. When the Supreme Lord reminds us of his supreme existence, he is not proudly advertising himself like a mundane politician or entertainer. The Lord is self-satisfied in his own infinite existence and is trying lovingly to bring us back to our own perfect existence as his eternal associates. From God's point of view, even the mighty King of Heaven, Indra, is a mere chair and a and the nasty child at that, and thus the Lord, being a caring father, punished his child and brought him back to the sanity of Krishna consciousness.
Okay. Any points there?
It shows how loving is Krishna.
Good. Anything else?
Lord is Atma Rama, self-satisfied. He doesn't need anyone to actually satisfy, but still, out of mercy, he lets devotees rest.
Is that actually true?
Well, as per Atma Rama, what's...
But is Atma Rama speaking about Krishna? Who is Atma Rama speaking about?
Other type of devotees who are actually liberated and also...
But what does Atma Rama mean?
Self-satisfied.
So is Krishna self-satisfied?
Yes.
Chris, hands up, you say yes. Hands up, you say no.
I'm confused.
Hands up, confused. Okay. So Krishna is not Atma Rama. When we say Atma Rama, we're talking about Paramatma. We're talking about Super Soul. But Krishna is not Atma Rama, not self-satisfied. Krishna is not complete without the association of his devotees. Prabhupada said, if you see a picture of just Krishna, that is not Krishna. Krishna always needs his devotees. You won't see any pastime where Krishna is not with the devotees. Even in the next few chapters, we'll see in the Rasa Leela, Krishna leaves the gopis, but that is just to intensify their love for him. But he cannot live without them. He cannot stay away from them. So when we say the Atma Rama, it's not really talking about Krishna himself. About Super Soul or like that.
Isn't he lacking something? Because the moment we say it's not complete, then isn't he lacking something in one sense?
Not really, because it's like you can say you're complete, but then you need a family. And even sannyasis, you can say they're complete because they don't have a family, but still they need association. So it is the nature of every living entity to want to be with other living entities. So it's not a fault on Krishna's behalf. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says Krishna's greatest quality is bhakta vatsala, which means he wants to look after his devotees, loves his devotees. So it's not a defect.
Ekoham Bahushyama, he was one, but then he became many.
Yeah, even saying that Krishna was one is not, that's just a philosophical point. There was never a time when Krishna was just by himself. Philosophically, we say like that. You know, Krishna was one and then he expanded. But that's just a philosophical point. It's not that there was a time when there was just Krishna. Krishna has always existed with all the devotees. It's eternal. And the fact that he eternally exists with his devotees and he can never be separate from his devotees proves that he is not Atma Rama, self-satisfied. Otherwise, if that was true, we wouldn't exist. But we do exist. So that proves that he needs association. Of course, you know, philosophically we say, yes, he could be. He could go off, but he never does it. So. Super Soul is Atma Rama, but... Krishna's. Okay, any other point?
If one doesn't learn to remember Krishna, then Krishna teaches the lesson so that I can remember him. In this case, Indra, I think that you are born, that's why I'm sure you must be open so that you remember him.
Yeah. Yeah, so. How does Krishna reciprocate with Indra? How does Krishna reciprocate with India? We know already. Not really.
He chastises him.
Yeah. How does he reciprocate with Indra, right? It specifically, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhaktaram Jagyatapasam. What is the next line? Savaloka Maheshwaram. And what's the next line? Suridam, Sarvabhutanam. Now there's different types of friends. In Sanskrit, the word friend You can use different Sanskrit words. What are the different words we can use? Yeah. Bandhu, Mitra, Suhrit. Okay, so the three terms are there. Bandhu, he's my bandhu, my friend. Mitra, my friend. Suhrit, my friend. But Suhrit means the most intimate friend. Suhrit, Hrit Hridaya. What does Hrit mean? Hridaya, the heart. Su means? Huh? Good, auspicious. It means happiness. Right? The person who makes you happy in the heart. Suhrit. It means your dearest friend. Krishna says, Suridam Savabhutana. Sava means everyone. Means he is the best friend of every person because he is in the heart of every person. And he is the only person who can fully make the heart feel complete. No one else can do that. He can make everyone's heart feel complete. So he is the best friend of
everyone.
Suhrita. Suhrit. So here, Krishna, he is lovingly dealing with Indra. He's not dealing with him in a envious way. What is that?
Heart to heart talk.
It's mentioned here, right? In this purport. Is it this purport? It's heart to heart.
Yeah. First line. Second.
Yeah, he's saying a heart to heart talk. So Indra spoke quite intimately to Krishna. When you feel you've done something wrong, you go to the other person, and then you reveal to them in confidence, I did this thing. It was wrong. I feel very bad about that. So there's some intimacy there. You know, when you're very humble before someone, then you're revealing your heart. You're vulnerable. So Indra has gone to Krishna in that way, in a vulnerable way. He has said, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I've done some very abominable things, atrocious things. I acted incorrectly. So he's vulnerable. He intimately gives himself to Krishna. So Krishna is speaking to him in this way, in a very intimate way. He says, okay, but I've dealt with you in this particular way. Why? Because I do not like to see my devotees become proud. And when my devotees are proud, then I will correct them. But when Krishna corrects us, or when the guru corrects us, or when the senior devotee corrects us, what is the mood in which they do it? Right? It's called Vatsalya Bhav. Just like when you correct a child. Right? What is that?
Vatsalya.
Vatsalya. Right? Sometimes you have to chastise the child. Does this mean you don't care about them? No. It means you do care about them. But you have to sometimes be a little steady. Sometimes you have to tell the devotee right on their face. You have to say, you're being nonsense. Does that mean you don't care about the devotee? No, it means you do care. That's why you're saying it. Even Giriraj Maharaj, he said to Prabhupada one time, he said, Prabhupada, sometimes you're very heavy with us. How should we feel? And what did Prabhupada say?
Be thankful.
Yeah, Prabhupada said, you should feel very fortunate that someone cares about you enough that they will point out your faults. That means you care about the person. If you don't care, then you won't say anything. If you do care, then you'll point out the faults. A real friend is someone who tells you the things you need to hear, not the things you want to hear. So Krishna is speaking to Indra like this. It is out of affection, suhrit. It means he's saying, Indra, this is not appropriate. It's a heart-to-heart talk. You've acted very improperly, so I have to bring you back to the proper consciousness. So this is the mood between Krishna. So whenever Krishna acts to anyone, it is loving. Krishna never acts in such a way where there's some animosity or envy, or Krishna is near matsara. He is free from defect. He is nidosha. There's no defect in Krishna. So therefore, when he ever acts, it is out of compassion and love. Any points?
Yeah. As you said earlier, that's why he has died in the separately, not in front of everybody.
Indra was the only one there, but all the demigods could hear what Krishna was saying. They had that power. So basically he was saying, and you'll hear in the next, I think it's the next verse, Krishna speaks in plural. He doesn't say just Indra, because Indra committed an offense to Krishna, then what happens in the next chapter? Huh? Then Varuna does the same thing. Huh? Varuna comes and takes
his father.
His father. Huh? What happens if someone kidnaps your father? Yeah, it's a big offense. So therefore, Varuna does the same thing in the next chapter. And then Indra does a similar thing again later in the Bhagavad, later in the 10th canto. Right? When Krishna goes to get the Parijata flower, then what happens? Right? Indra tries to stop Krishna again. So Krishna has to chastise him again. So, any other points?
You mentioned in one of your lecture that there are three or four types of chastisement. One is just looking angrily, second just chastising in heavy words, and third I think lip quivering, and fourth just leave the place, that is the heaviest. So I think with Lord Brahma, Krishna did he left the, you know, that he just ignored Lord Brahma's prayer. And here the offense is not that serious. That's why I think he just chastised. He did not ignore. The heaviest is just ignore the person. It's the heaviest. So I think Lord Brahma's offense was more serious.
Yeah, Lord Brahma's offense was considered more serious than Indra's offense. Considered more serious.
I think it is because he separated himself and hid him from his devotees.
Tried to. But yeah, Hari Sori Prabhu says that he was with Prabhupada every day for 15 months. Can you imagine being with your spiritual master every day? For 15 months. Hari Sori Prabhu was with Prabhupada. And he said Prabhupada had three levels of chastisement. First one, he would get angry. Right? And then second one, it was like a heavy anger. And Prabhupada would just almost like explode. Just like come down like a thunderbolt. And then the third level, Prabhupada was so angry, his lip would quiver. Like he was so angry, but he wouldn't even say anything. That's how angry he was. Just disgust. Yeah. One time, Hari Sori Prabhu, you know, have you been to, you know, Prabhupada's room in Vrindavan? Yeah. Have you been on the upstairs?
Yeah.
Upstairs there's the bedroom and the bathroom. I don't know if you've been up there. If you go up there, I'll take you up there next time. You go up there and there's Prabhupada's bedroom and bathroom upstairs. And then Hari Sori Prabhu was upstairs with Prabhupada and then he walked out. And he locked the door and went down just out of habit. So back then, it wasn't like now. There's people everywhere. There was no one around. So Prabhupada was stuck up there for 1 or 2 hours. Mm-hmm. He couldn't get down for 1 or 2 hours. And he was upset. And then finally, someone came and Prabhupada said, hey, go and open the door. So they came and opened the door. And they ran and got Hari Sori. And they said, Prabhupada is so upset. So he ran. And he ran upset and he opened the door. And then he came and he offered his obeisances. And Prabhupada just walked past him. He was so disgusted. And wasted 1 or 2 hours of his guru's time. So that's the highest level of. Okay.
The first one is just angry.
Okay. First one is just angry.
Okay.
Second one, really angry.
Okay.
And third one, too much angry.
Also in Amsterdam, devotees did not bring the flowers. So Prabhupada was very angry.
Yeah, that was on public television. Live television. Live television. Prabhupada was just disgusted. Where is this? Where they couldn't find anything. You know, Prabhupada, and on television, live. You know, and Prabhupada saying, where is this? Where is that? He's angry. He didn't care that he's on television. He's getting angry. And then there's one bhakta not even initiated. He was standing next to Prabhupada chanting japa. Like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And Prabhupada's sitting on the Vyasasana. He's so upset. He leaned over and he said, just chant Hare Krishna, Prabhupada. Prabhupada went, and Prabhupada picked up his beads. He went, Hare Krishna.
Krishna was talking to you.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada. Okay. A man blinded by intoxication with his power and opulence cannot see me nearby with the rod of punishment in my hand. If I desire his real welfare, I drag him down from his materially fortunate position. Janesh?
One may argue, God should desire everyone's real welfare. Therefore, why should Lord Krishna state in this verse that he removes the intoxicating opulence of one who is about to receive his mercy, rather than simply stating that he will remove everyone's opulence and bless everyone? On the other hand, we may point out that irrevocable death occurs for everyone, and thus Lord Krishna does take away everyone's opulence and everyone's false pride. However, if we apply Lord Krishna's statement to events within one's immediate life before death, we may refer to Krishna's statement in the Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Yayatama Pratapinti Samstata Vekajamya. As people surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Lord Krishna desires everyone's welfare, but when he says, here, yasya cha anukarvam, for one whose welfare I desire, it is understood that the Lord referred to those who by their own activity and thoughts have manifested a desire to achieve spiritual benefits. Lord Krishna wants everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness. But when he sees that a specific person also desires spiritual happiness, the Lord especially desires it for that person. This is a natural act of reciprocation consistent with the Lord's statement, Sammoham Sarvabhuteshu. I am equal in my attitude to all living entities.
So many points there.
Sammoham Sarvabhuteshu. And equal to living.
Anything else? So Krishna also says in Gita, Yayatam Mam Prapajante Tams Tadeva Bhajamyaham. So as you surrender to me, I reward you accordingly. So Krishna reciprocates with us according to our mood in devotional service. So if you are proud, then Krishna will humble you. And if you are humble, then Krishna will accept you. So it is a reciprocal relationship. According to the mentality of the devotee, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So Indra has the wrong mentality. So then Krishna says, I'm standing nearby with the rod of chastisement. Who else holds the rod of chastisement? Mayadevi? Yeah, you can say. Yamaraj. Yamaraj has a rod of chastisement. In other words, he punishes everyone. Yamaraj is so powerful, he punishes everyone at the time of death. So if we do not surrender to Krishna, then Krishna comes in the form of?
Yamaraj.
Death, Yamaraj, to humble us. Everyone is scared of death. So Krishna comes in that form if you will not surrender. So it's up to us. If we want to be submissive towards Krishna, Krishna will deal with us appropriately. So Krishna wants us to worship him in a loving mood. So he has to bring us to that loving mood. So as we said last week, if we surrender to Krishna properly, then Krishna will reciprocate with us properly. But if we're in the mood of being falsely proud, then Krishna will have to lower that pride first. So it's according to our relationship. Krishna wants us to have a loving relationship with him, which means he wants us to adopt or to formulate or to accept our original loving mood with him in our particular rasa or in our particular mood of serenity. But if we will not act in that capacity, then Krishna will deal with us in a different way. But in every way, Krishna is dealing with us in a loving way. If we're not going to be surrendered to him, then he will chastise us, remove our pride, humble us. If we're already humble, then Krishna will cultivate us. But ultimately, he wants us to develop a particular rasa with him, a particular relationship. So from his side, it's always a loving feeling or a loving reciprocation. But if we don't have the right mood, then what can we do? Just like if you have children. Do any of you have children? And some of you have children. So sometimes your children, you're very loving, but they're very obstinate.
Stubborn.
Very stubborn. Very uncooperative. Very rebellious. Does that ever happen to you? Sometimes your children don't speak to you very nicely. Ever happen? Not always. I mean, some of your kids are very saintly, but at least in my household, it's a little different. Our daughter is very, sometimes, I mean, she's a very sweet girl, but sometimes just obstinate. Even though you're trying to be affectionate and you're trying to be giving and you're trying to give facility, but they're just obstinate. I don't need you anymore. So, no problem. So we're like that with Krishna. Sometimes with Krishna, we're just like, it's okay. I'll call you when I need you. You just wait there. When I need something, I will. So we have that mood towards Krishna. So if that's our mood, then Krishna, he will deal a little differently. But if we have a loving mood towards Krishna, then Krishna will reciprocate. So as we surrender, he rewards us accordingly. That's his message in the Bhagavad Gita. So any points?
If it is because of our forgetfulness of Krishna, how kind is that he commits offense? If we can remember him all the time, that we won't commit offense. Yeah. We will be forgiving all, thinking that it is the perfect reason to doing everything.
Yeah, we have to develop the mood of being a loving servant in a particular rasa with Krishna.
Yeah.
That's what the Bhagavad Gita is teaching.
Yeah.
Any other point?
In that regard, you see the mood of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He basically told the different reasons of, as we saw in the hero, he's basically sort of just doing the demonic qualities and basically accepting everyone.
He's merciful. But he still will not tolerate nonsense. He's also very strict on his devotees, but very accepting. Any other point?
Because he's the spiritual master of everybody, ultimately. But he has to be strict. And we should be happy that he's just with us.
Yeah. Just like you're very strict with your husband.
Not always.
But he is happy that you chastise him. He seems happy.
He does what he wants from me.
He does what he wants.
And I let him do it.
Really? You're an intelligent wife.
No, you're arguing. He left me for 9 months.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Went to India.
So detached.
Spiritual master order to do something. We have to do it.
Have to do it.
Okay.
Why is it? Spiritual master number one.
Yeah. Okay. Indra, you may now go. Execute my order and remain in your appointed position as King of Heaven, but be sober and without false pride. So what does Krishna do after he chastises Indra?
He advises him how he should
be. He said, now go back to your position. So this is the mood of This is the desire of Krishna in relationship to his devotees. Krishna wants us to maintain our position, to maintain our service under all circumstances. So devotees, they have to maintain their service regardless of what the external circumstances are. Just like Balaram Prabhu, he was the previous temple president before Aniruddha Prabhu. He was speaking to Prabhupada just up there in one of the rooms. And he said to Prabhupada, what is the qualification if someone wants to take Brahman initiation? What did Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said he must be steady. If you take second initiation, Brahman initiation, then you have to be steady. So this is what Krishna is saying to Indra. Give up your pride, right? Service must be done without pride, right? Unfortunately, our service, we don't do it without pride. Unfortunately, we do our service with pride. But if you want to sustain it eternally, you have to give up pride. And Krishna says to Indra, go back and do your service. Do the service that I gave to you, but always think of me. He gave the same instruction to Raghunath Das Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Raghunath Das Goswami, he wanted to leave his home. Right? He wanted to go away from home, join Lord Chaitanya. He was in a very wealthy position, wealthy and good family. So he wanted to go. And Lord Chaitanya said, stay in your position, but always think of Krishna. And serve Krishna. Just stay in your position and serve Krishna. So that is the instruction given by Krishna, given by the spiritual master. Just do your service. Whatever service is given to you by Guru, by Krishna, by the senior devotees, you just do that service. And you do it to the best of your ability, perfectly. Right? And give up pride, eventually. Over time, just diminish your pride. And offer all the results to Krishna. So Krishna says to Indra, just go back and keep doing what you're doing. But do it for me. Be steady, be fixed. Any points? Mother Surabhi, along with her progeny, the cows, then offered her obeisances to Lord Krishna, respectfully requesting his attention. The gentle lady addressed the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who was present before her as a cowherd boy. So Mother Surabhi, she was seeing Krishna as a cowherd boy. The acharyas point out in the purport, she was not one of the cows from Vrindavan. She was a cow from this material world. She wasn't like an eternal associate of Krishna. The cows in Krishna's eternal lila in Vrindavan, they are eternal associates of Krishna. There is eternal devotees. She was not one of them. But she was following in their footsteps. And that's what we are meant to do. That is called Raga Nuga Bhakti. What is Raga Nuga Bhakti?
Spontaneous.
But what is the mood of the Raga Nuga Bhaktas? Following the footsteps of the Brijbasis. So we're meant to follow in the footsteps of the Brijbasis. ISKCON is, we're meant to be practicing eventually Raga Nuga Bhakti. In the beginning we practice Vaidhi Sadhana. But the Vaidhi Sadhana is very quickly meant to lead to Raga Nuga. What does Raga Nuga mean?
Spontaneous,
but it means to follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan. Now, the first day you move into the temple, you get up for Mangalati, and after Mangalati, you begin to chant the Tulsi prayers. Now, what do the Tulsi prayers say? O Tulsi, beloved of Krishna, I bow down before you again and again. My desire is to become an eternal servant of Radha and Krishna. Whoever takes shelter of you has his wishes fulfilled. Bestowing your mercy on him, you make him an eternal resident of Vrindavan. My desire is that you also grant me resonance in the pleasure groves of Sri Vrindavan Dham. Thus, within my vision, I will always behold the beautiful pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I beg you to make me a follower of the cowherds of Vrindavan. Please give me the privilege of devotional service and make me your own maid servant. Now, the first day you move into the temple, you start singing that prayer. Namo namaha tulasi krishna prayasi. Namo namaha. You don't even know what you're chanting. Right? First 5 months, 6 months you're in the temple, you just chant the prayers. You know, you're just trying to stay awake as you walk around Tulsi in the morning. Right? And you're chanting these prayers. You don't even know what you're chanting. But what you're saying is, make me an eternal servant of Radha and Krishna. Give me the privilege of devotional servant. Make me a maidservant of the cowherd followers of... Right? So this is Raganuga Bhakti. So you may be doing it as Vaidhi in the beginning. I mean, you're just getting up because you have to get up. Because you're told to get up. Because that is the rule and the regulation, but in due course of time it should become spontaneous, and you should cultivate the mood of that prayer, and you should pray from the heart in that mood while you're chanting. You should have that desire to become a follower of the resonance of Vrindavan. So Surabhi, she is in that mood. She wants to follow the eternal cows. You see, this is Krishna, the eternal cowherd boy, and I want to follow the mood of the resonance of Vrindavan. I want to serve him. That is Raganuga Bhakti. So we should also cultivate that. Otherwise you'll take birth again in this material world. Hands up if you want to be born again in the material world. Hands up if you want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan. Then you have to become serious. If you're not serious, you don't go back. It's not an easy thing to go back. But it can be done in this lifetime. Srila Prabhupada ki. Tulsi Devi ki.
But the fourth line of the prayer.
Yeah.
The fourth line of the prayer, Bhakti Simha said. Yeah. That it will, I will get whatever I'm doing. But please give me the benediction that I never forget Radha and Krishna. So does that mean that if my other desires can't be fulfilled, then at least give me this benediction that I will always remember him?
Yeah, of course.
Does that mean?
Yeah.
The fourth one.
Just keep doing service to Tulsi and you will get perfection. If in your heart you pray to become a follower of the residents of Vrindavan, you will get perfection. Okay? Bring your teacher sweets. and serve Tulsi Devi.
Okay.
These two things you have to remember. TK?
Yeah.
When was the last time I got sweets?
I don't remember.
I don't remember it. Anything else?
Yeah. Should have both of us.
Nothing coming from your house either, so don't smile.
I'm thinking whether I can share your sweets.
So much bhakti. That's really not where this course is going. There's something deeper we're trying to get at here. I'm being very subtle in my hints, but
just be quite simple.
What about that Malaysian jelly stuff? You know?
I don't know. I'm thinking of jalebi now.
You have a point?
Srila Prabhupada has made ISKCON temples as embassy of spiritual world for such high standard for the temples.
Anything else? Okay. Mother Surabhi said, O Krishna, Krishna, greatest of mystics, O soul and origin of the universe, you are the master of the world, and by your grace, O infallible Lord, we have you as our master. Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin. What does this mean? Yeah, master of yoga. What did Krishna just do in the previous chapter? Lifted Govardhan Hill. So imagine how you would feel if you saw Krishna do that for 7 days and seven nights. Imagine, if you can picture, being under that hill. Can you imagine what that must feel like? We were in Vrindavan. what year is it? 2017. So 2015 we were there. And we're at the Govardhan retreat at Govardhan Hill, right next to Giriraj. And we're on a Japa retreat, holy name retreat. So one day we're meant to have a 12-hour kirtan. And the kirtan was at Surubikund, which is exactly where this pastime takes place, where Indra comes to Krishna and begs for forgiveness. Yeah. Exactly the place where this pastime takes place. And it says that if you go to that place, have you been to Surubikund? You've been there. So just down from where we, Jatipur, just down. One could. So if you go there, it says, if you offer obeisances there, all your offenses will be forgiven at that place. So you probably want to go there now. There's a place in Mayapur too, across the, in Navadvip. Keshavaji Gaudiya Math, Devananda Gaudiya Math. So either place. Devotees are very enthusiastic to go there because all your offenses get forgiven at that place. So we were there and 12-hour kirtan was just beginning. Sachinandan Swami was beginning again. And this is Kartik time, right? It doesn't rain in Kartik time. It was normally rains in monsoon time. August, September, July, August, that time. No rain usually, and it just starts to pour rain, like pouring rain, not like little bits, like pouring out of nowhere. Right? Very rare. So all the devotees had to get up and run all the way back to the other pandal back at the Jatipur. So we all ran back, and we got under the tent, and it's like a big pandal under the tent, and rain was pouring like off the sides of the tent, like in the Govardhan nearly, could like coming off the sides. And we were just under there chanting and chanting for hours, and it rained for a long time. And we got the feeling of what the Govardhan nearly must have been like. And I was meditating in my mind that Krishna was standing there and holding up the, like the,
really?
Yeah, the pandal was like the hill. So I was meditating like that, and I had some feeling of what it must have been like under there. Just under the shelter of Krishna, because we were just chanting the holy name. We just felt sheltered. We felt close to Krishna. Govardhan Hill was there. Yeah. So you imagine the Brijbasis, they've just been for 7 days and seven nights under this hill with Krishna. So now they're saying, Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin, the great mystic. Who can lift a hill like this? Who can hold a hill for 7 days and seven nights? Right? You can't even hold your iPhone for 7 days. Or try even 7 hours. Mm-hmm. You can't even hold like one pen for 7 hours. Like this. And your arm will get sore. But Krishna's 7 days, so he's like a mystic yogi saying, Krishna, Krishna. So they're feeling that Krishna will protect us. Huh? Who do you feel will protect you? Who do you call when you're in trouble? We should say Krishna, but who do we say? You have to see. Each one of us have to see ourselves. Who do you call out for when you're in trouble? But we should call out for Krishna. That should be our instinct. When we need protection, we call out to
Krishna.
Yeah, or Nisringadev, whoever your Ishtadev is, whoever you feel protected by. But they felt like that, so they're saying Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin. Also, the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Surabhi is in ecstasy. So when you're in ecstasy, what do you say? Krishna, Krishna. Just like in the Gundicha Marjana. When all the devotees, if you go to the Gundicha temple in Jagannath Puri, then all the devotees are carrying the water pots. And everyone was saying, Krishna. And then devotee was taking the water pot and they're saying, Krishna. And then they're giving the water pot to the other person, Krishna. And every time they wanted something, they'd say, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Everyone was chanting ecstasy, Krishna. So she's in ecstasy. She's just seen this whole pastime of Govardhan Leela, and now she's with Krishna himself, and she's saying, Krishna, Krishna, Mahayogin. You are the supreme mystic. Any points? You are our worshipable deity, therefore, O Lord of the universe, for the benefit of the cows, the brahmanas, and the demigods, and all other saintly persons, please become our Indra.
The Supreme Lord is self-sufficient. He can do everything himself. The Lord appointed one of his innumerable children to the position of Indra, the Lord of the cosmic heaven. But Indra abused his authority and now Sundi requests Lord Krishna, who has put through to directly become her Lord, her Indra. We should carefully perform our duties without false pride, and we will not become obsolete and embarrassed as in the present case of King Indra, who actually attacked Lord Krishna and his Vrindavan devotees.
Mm-hmm. So what are the points there?
No false pride.
Yeah, it should not be false pride. We are simply a representative. When you join ISKCON, you are a representative of the Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Sampradaya. You are a Rupa Nuga, Vaishnava. You are a Saraswat Vaishnava. We're also Prabhupada Anuga. When you join ISKCON, this is your position. We're just a representative. That's who we are. Any honor and respect that we get, because you will get honor and respect, right, as a devotee, all the honor and respect that we get is simply the honor and respect which is given to the representative. Prabhupada, sometimes he would arrive in the airports around the world. So he'd arrive in the airport, and then it's different now in ISKCON, but when Prabhupada was there, you see the videos. Prabhupada would be sitting there, and then all the disciples, Hare Krishna, just take over the airport. And they'd all sit on the ground, like, you know, where all the seats are for people to sit. They'd all sit on the ground, so no one could sit there. You know, just Prabhupada and everyone would sit. And everyone would offer obeisances, dandavats on the ground. We don't do that so much now. But in those days when Prabhupada was there, even in the airports, public places, everyone would bow down on the ground. And so then the reporter asked Prabhupada, what are they doing? And Prabhupada said, I'm like the tax collector. Like on behalf of the tax department, the king. You come and you take taxes, you give it to the king. So it is not for you, it is for the king. But you are just the collector. So he said, I am the obeisances collector. I just come and I collect all the obeisances and then I give it to Krishna. So we are just a representative. But the problem is we don't think like that. We think when everyone's bowing down, they're bowing down to us. So we keep some of it for us. We give some to Krishna, but we keep a portion for ourselves. But Prabhupada was not like that. He gave everything. Even one time Prabhupada was in the airport and all the devotees were sitting, taking up the whole seating place, transit-like lounge place. So one airport official came and spoke to one devotee who was on the edge and said, can you ask the devotees to please move so the passengers can sit down? So a devotee got up on the chair and he said, all the devotees, please clear this place immediately. Right? And only one devotee stood up. Right, Prabhupada. Because Prabhupada said, all the devotees, clear this place immediately. So he stood up because he thought devotees have to move. Because he's humble, he's a gentleman. Whereas all the devotees, they were sitting there because they think, you know, we're taking over the airport. Devotees are like that, wherever they go. They think we'll take over the place. Because in one sense it's true, it does belong to us because it belongs to Krishna, that's true. But on another level, we should be conscious of the public.
Discipline.
Yeah, discipline. We should be conscious of we have to share this world with other people. So it doesn't give a very good impression if we're just taking over everything all the time. So Prabhupada was very... Even Prabhupada, when Mataji was cleaning his bathroom in Vrindavan, and then Prabhupada walked in and she was cleaning the bathroom, Prabhupada walked in and Prabhupada said, may I come in? And it was Prabhupada's bathroom. And Prabhupada's such a humble Vaishnava, a gentleman. Prabhupada said, may I come in? He said, of course, Prabhupada. when she went out. But that was Prabhupada's mood. So when we serve, we should just represent Krishna, represent Guru, represent the devotees. But we always keep a little bit for ourselves. So Krishna is saying here to Indra, then don't be like that. As ordered by Lord Brahma, we shall perform your bathing ceremony to coronate you as Indra. O soul of the universe, you descend to this world to relieve the burden of the earth. So, Lord Brahma, after this pastime where Indra tries to destroy Vrindavan, then he is very nervous. Like when we make a mistake, we're very nervous. So he goes to Lord Brahma. And then what does Lord Brahma say? Take Surabhi and take the cow from the Goloka planet and go to Krishna and beg forgiveness. So on the order of Brahma, Surabhi and Indra, they go to Krishna. Now they're asking Krishna, now please let us perform an Abhishek. Because when you offend someone, Harinam Chintamani, have you read Harinam Chintamani by Haridas Thakur? Everyone should read Harinam Chintamani. Very important book. Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur discusses with Lord Chaitanya the 10 offenses in chanting. So one of the offenses in chanting is to blaspheme the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name of the Lord. Now it says that if we commit this offense, you should go to the devotee you have offended, and you should bow down at the devotee's feet, and you should serve that devotee. And then specifically it says that if you want to overcome the pride that's in your heart, because why do we offend another devotee? Because we're pride. We have pride. We're proud. So if you want to diminish pride, hands up if you want to diminish pride. Right. So Haridas Thakur specifically says you have to find a Grihastha devotee and you have to serve them very menially. Right. Just find a devotee and you serve very menially. Right. Bathe their feet, and they're not going to let you do that. But it means serve them very menially. Do some service. Find some devotee and do some nice service for them. Right. This is actually one way to overcome pride. Right? By doing menial service to Vaishnavas. Right? Find a devotee. Not right now, but find devotees and you do some menial service for the devotees. Right? Right? You do some service for them. Always serve, always serve, always serve. My Guru Maharaj, he was in Yoga Pit in Mayapur. Lord Chaitanya appeared. He was giving lecture to all the devotees on the Navadvipa Mandal Parikram. And he was saying this point. On the Parikram, you should serve the other devotees. Get the dust from their feet. And then all the sannyasis were sitting behind him, all the gurus. And then they all started taking the dust from each other's feet. Right? And everyone was fighting, you know, trying to get the dust from the other person's feet. So that should be the mood of the devotees. So if you're proud, you find a devotee. Not like anyone can serve the famous devotee. Right? We all want to serve the famous devotee. We all want to be seen serving the famous devotee. We all want to be next to the famous devotee in the photographs. Like you always see when the guru is having the photograph, everyone's like, you know. Yeah, right next to the guru. Right, that's easy. Everyone can do that. Everyone can serve the sannyasi. Everyone can serve the guru. Everyone can serve the advanced devotee. But Haridas Thakur says you just find the menial to it. That's the humble devotee, and you serve him. And then your pride will go away. Yeah? So this is your homework. In your mind, you find some menial devotee, and you start to serve them this week. By next week, you come, and you give your homework. I've served this devotee. That should be the mood. So Indra, he did not have that mood. So therefore Krishna had to humble him because the mood was not correct. So they wanted to do Abhishek. Abhishek means bathing ceremony. But what was the motivation? The motivation was to relieve themselves of offense. Because Indra committed some offense. He was very scared, actually. So I told you last week, I think, we told the past time when they did the Abhishek, right? And all the demigods bathed with great awe and reverence, and Krishna just sat there. But then what happened when the demigods left? Right. All the cowherd boys came, right, and they all sat on the seat with Krishna. Right. They're just sitting there with Krishna. They're going, yeah, yeah, Govinda, Govinda, yeah, Govinda. Right. Everyone, right. And they're bathing Krishna. They did the same ceremony, but Krishna was laughing and joking, and everyone was, you know, so much ecstasy because there was not fear, because there was no offense. But with the demigods, they were very fearful. They did the ceremony, but Krishna, he reciprocated differently. So if we have an offense, then you do the service, but to relieve the offense. We don't want to serve Krishna like that. In the beginning, maybe it's like that, but in due course of time, you don't want to serve Krishna just because you want to relieve yourself of offenses. You want to serve him because you love him and you want to please him. Any points?
There used to be one wealthy landlord in Vrindavan area.
Yeah.
He became a devotee, Vaishnava.
Yeah.
And then after he became a Vaishnava, he used to go to his enemy's house and beg for begging to reduce his ego.
Prabhupada mentions in Nectar of Devotion.
Yeah,
he mentions that. Yeah, Apostle. Shukadeva Goswami said, having thus appealed to Lord Krishna, Mother Surabhi performed his bathing ceremony with her own milk, and Indra, ordered by Aditi and other mothers of the demigods, anointed the Lord with heavenly Ganga water from the trunk of Indra's elephant carrier, Airavata. Thus, in the company of the demigods and the great sages, Indra coronated Lord Krishna, the descendant of Dasharatha, and gave him the name Govinda. So in due course of time, they overcame their offenses, and then they could approach Govinda. In other words, you can't understand Krishna as he is in Vrindavan until you become offenseless. Offenses block our relationship with Krishna. If you're committing aparads, you can't realize Krishna. You have to become free of aparad. There are four types of aparad. What are the four types?
By words, corporal, by...
No, that is three. But there are four categories, broad categories.
Jiva,
Vaishnav,
Seva,
Nama. Yeah, four types of aparads. Nama parad means 10 offenses in chanting every morning. Vaishnava parad, that's one of the nama parads, but that one is very, very significant. You offend devotees, your devotional service is finished. Seva parad means when you're worshipping deity. And jiva parad or jana parad means just any living entity. Like if you kill the bug or you do something unnecessary. Or even some non-devotee. I remember one time I was doing book distribution in Adelaide. It was 20, long time ago, when I was young. And I went into one shop and I was having difficult times trying to sell Prabhupada's books, but I was having difficult time. So one lady, I went in there, I tried to sell books. She said, I'm not interested. And I was rude to her, because I was frustrated. So I went out and then I thought to myself, oh, she's non-devotee, it doesn't matter. But then next morning I'm chanting my japa and no taste for chanting. And I was thinking, why is there no taste? But then in my heart, Krishna revealed to me, you offended her. So after breakfast, I went back to the shop. I walked in and I said, Mataji, please forgive me. I offered obeisances, rolled around her shop. Like that, right? And then she said, okay, I think that's enough now. And I didn't really do that, but I went to the shop and I said, please forgive me. I said, I was not nice to you yesterday. She goes, I understand. It's difficult what you're doing. You go in there and people don't want, I say, I understand. But you said if someone doesn't want it, they don't want it. So that's it. So I thought, yeah, it's true. She didn't want it, so I can't push it on her like that. So I apologized, and she said, and then my offense was gone. So even non-devotees, you have to be careful.
What's the meaning of this other?
Of which?
The descendant of this
It's one of the, must be one of the kings in the Chandra Vamsh. One of the forefathers of Krishna. If you go back to Canto 9, it tells you the list. So it must be.
Probably out of all these four, Vaishnavata is very intense, isn't it?
Very intense. Too intense. Be very careful. Vaishnavata.
The reaction is very heavy.
Huh?
Open a can of worms now.
Very careful how you treat your husband. Huh?
You forgot the end of the sentence.
Yeah. You guys have your own shastra. You come to my class, is what you get. Listen to the husband, all right? Though my wife is submissive, no problems, okay?
Why are you all laughing?
Because I know what a good Vaishnava you are. So. They know it is true, everyone is. Hare Krishna. Okay. So, Tumburu, Narada, and other Gandhavas, along with the Vijadharas, Siddhas and Charanas, came there to sing the glories of Lord Hari, which purify the entire world. And the wives of the demigods, filled with joy, danced together in the Lord's honor. The most eminent demigods chanted the praises of the Lord and scattered wonderful showers of flowers all around him. All the three worlds felt supreme satisfaction, and the cows drenched the surface of the earth with their milk. So this is natural opulence. How do you worship Krishna? If you want to please Krishna, what do you give him? Right?
Incense, lamb, flowers.
Dut, milk. Like we do Abhishek for Krishna, we bathe in milk, honey, ghee, yogurt, dahi, sugar water, like that. Different fruits, I think, natural. And then Pushpa Abhishek, you know, in the big Abhishek, we offer the flowers, and then we, you know, so the demigods are doing like that, natural opulence. This is what satisfies Krishna. Right? If you want to satisfy Krishna, you don't give him an iPad, right? Or an iPhone, or, you know, Krishna, he doesn't use these things, doesn't need these things. He just wants natural opulence. That's what satisfies him. Nice, fresh, organic bhoga. Which is just like today, we had Tamal Krishna Maharaj's disappearance day. So we had Churabhav Mahotsav at Jai Sachi Prabhu's place. And one of my god sisters, and she cooked some sak. And she said, I picked that out of my garden this morning. This is first class. This is the best offering. You could taste. So, you know, my wife said, what is this? So I said, yeah, I picked that this morning. Kale. Coriander, fresh, pick it, offer to Krishna. That's the best. This is what Krishna wants.
See, when Lord Krishna went to Kurukshetra and met Yashoda, and she fed him with her bosom.
Yeah. After so many years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Rivers flowed with various kinds of tasty liquids. Trees exuded honey. Edible plants came to maturity without cultivation, and hills gave forth jewels formerly hidden in their interiors. O Pariksha, beloved of the Kuru dynasty, upon the ceremonial bathing of Lord Krishna, all living creatures, even those cruel by nature, became entirely free from enmity. After he had ceremonially bathed Lord Govinda, who is the master of the cows and the cowherd community, King Indra took the Lord's permission and, surrounded by the demigods and other higher beings, returned to his heavenly abode.
You mean they all were seeing all these things, everybody?
I means even like the tigers and the all the animals that are normally ferocious, everyone was calm.
Yeah, but what about the Brij Basi? They're seeing the components of that?
Yeah. Yeah. So when Krishna is worshipped, everything becomes auspicious. Right? Even in Kali Yuga, which is full of inauspiciousness. Kale Doshi Nite Rajan. Kali Yuga is full of so many faults. But when you worship Krishna, everything becomes auspicious. The whole world can be peaceful if we can just get them to chant the holy name of Krishna. Hare Krishna. So tomorrow night we will continue. Next week there is no class. Next Monday, Tuesday, no class. 1 week off next week. Tomorrow night class, then 1 week off. But don't break the momentum. Tonight so many wonderful Vaishnavas came. Please come. Keep coming. Because next week, tomorrow night, begin chapter 28. And then after, in 2 weeks, we'll begin the Rasa Leela, which means very ecstatic pastimes with Krishna. The Krishna's topmost pastimes. When Krishna enjoys to the highest degree with his associates. So please come. I want your association. Srila Prabhupada ki. Melbourne Vaishnavas a ki. Bringing your teacher lots of sweets ki. No problem.